Well, the ever-burgeoning ice trade is these days affecting every socio-economic and indeed every age group, it would seem, in Australia, even children. Police, emergency department workers, teachers, psychiatrists dealing with psychotic patients all know firsthand how ice or crystal methamphetamine has infiltrated our cities and our country towns. Tonight, ABC TV will screen the first of a four-part series called Ice Wars that will really look at and reveal the size of the challenge that this drug poses. The program makers have unprecedented access to police in frontline operations in metropolitan, rural and remote communities across New South Wales. One of the police officers featured is Detective Chief Inspector Michael Cook, who is head of the New South Wales Police's Chemical Operations Unit. Michael Cook, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. How are you?
Well, thank you. You deal in your day-to-day job with ice addicts, ice cooks, the criminals and the victims on a daily basis. We've heard some pretty staggering statistics about the number of ice users in the community broadly. How prolific is its use? What statistic do you guys go by?
The National Drug Strategy Household Survey in 2013 indicated that up to 7% of Australians have tried methamphetamine in their lifetime. Extrapolating the numbers out, that's between 1.3 and 1.6 million people in Australia have actually tried methamphetamine.
And that's 2013. So presumably that number has risen. I mean, what's your take on what's happening with ice use?
There's been a number of surveys, a number of initiatives to try and detect how many people are using it. And you're right, Fran, the numbers have increased over the last couple of years. That survey is only done every 3 years. Mm-hmm. It was done again late last year, but the results won't be out till the middle of 2017.
From your experience, is it fair to say and obvious that ice and methamphetamine has taken over heroin as the drug of choice?
Oh, absolutely. Two completely different drugs and different user groups. But most certainly, ice is the hugest threat in our community. And our police commissioner yesterday in an interview indicated that he feels it's the biggest threat to Australia currently.
So all the people, this many people in our, we've heard about what it's doing, ravaging country towns. We've heard about the number of age groups that are using it. Very young age people have tried it, and it's dangerous. We know that because people who try it can get addicted very quickly. And we all talk about, where it's made, meth labs, and people sometimes joke, that house is probably a meth lab. But the truth is, as the head of the Chemical Operations Unit, some of the houses amongst us are meth labs, aren't they?
Most certainly. And we respond once or twice a week, I suppose, on our average numbers, to labs that are located in residential neighbourhoods. We find them in industrial areas. We find them in rural areas. But most certainly, we regularly attend them in neighbourhoods. We speak to the neighbours. And the neighbours have got no idea that they're living next door to someone who's producing large quantities of methamphetamine.
And does that surprise you, that you can be living next door to one or behind one and not know? What are there telltale signs?
Yeah, there are. There's usually people, once you bring it to their attention, they say, that there were people coming and going strange hours during the night. We smelt funny smells coming out of the property at different times. All those type of things are indicators. People dumping cans that contain household solvents, acetone and methylated spirits, those type of things. They're just things for people to keep an eye out for, and if they've got any concerns, certainly call your local police and report it.
Okay. You talk about, strange smells. It's pretty toxic, isn't it, the stuff that is being used here?
Very toxic.
Can it be harmful to those around?
Not unless you're in very close proximity to it, and that would be touching some of the chemicals or breathing in the fumes that are coming out of the process. If you're a neighbour, you will get a smell, but it's probably not very dangerous at that stage.
What about if a place was a meth lab once and then it's not anymore and the house is rented and you don't know? Could that be dangerous?
It can be, for sure. We, as a matter of course, after we've been to a clandestine laboratory, we do a notification to local government to indicate that we've processed a lab there. We tell them what type of chemicals were located there and where they were. And then the process of cleaning that up is referred to as remediation. And then the council will look after the remediation of the property with the owners of the property. But most certainly, if there's been any large-scale practice of a manufacture there over a period of time, the contamination of that site is bound to be significant.
Is it a law that remediation needs to occur? I mean, how often are people, imagine there's a lot of owners who don't really probably feel like spending the money to do that, to rent it again.
No, it can be very
expensive. Is that
expensive.
A danger?
Oh, absolutely. We've responded to jobs that have been fairly significantly contaminated, where they've actually had to knock the house down because there's just no way to clean up the mess that's been left behind. But those are issues that local government need to look after. We don't have any powers in regard to that.
So just, I'll move off from the meth labs in a minute, but the meth lab raids that you do, and I think one is featured in tonight's program, are these labs, are they defended, or is the whole point trying to blend in? Is it dangerous for you to raid them?
Oh, it's dangerous at times, obviously, because people who are involved in this are generally involved in organised crime activities. That could be using firearms, the sale of firearms, any of those type of things. So we generally do a lot of background checking, a lot of research before we actually go knocking on the door of something we suspect is a clandestine laboratory. We generally identify who's involved, when they're there, and there's a lot of work goes into the background checking.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 17 minutes to 9. Our guest is Detective Chief Inspector Michael Cook, who's featured in Ice Wars, this four-part doco that's starting screening on ABC tonight, ABC TV tonight. Detective Chief Inspector, the epidemic is reaching all parts of society in this country. In one of the episodes, two-time world surfing champion Tom Carroll talks of his addiction, which occurred 10 years ago after he retired from pro surfing. Let's just have a little listen to what Tom Carroll said in the doco.
Crystal meth came at a time when I needed to feel productive and on top of things and actually back up, especially as a father. Something that actually propped everything up, it had me. At first I did just have it in water, sort of like having a really strong cup of coffee that lasted all day. I felt like I could focus better on what I was doing. My thinking just was super clear. Then I noticed myself wanting to call up the dealer to get a little bit more so I could use it a little bit every day. During that period of time, things just progressively got worse and worse and worse. Fairly steep decline.
That's two-time world surfing champ Tom Carroll, who's now recovered from his addiction, describing his struggles there with ice in one of the episodes of Ice Wars. It makes it sound so kind of everyday, so easy. Is that story of decline a familiar one to you, Mike?
It is, and you mentioned in your opening that it affects all socioeconomic groups through the community. It's not something that the underprivileged are subject to.
Yeah.
You know, anybody can become involved with ice, and the addiction rate for getting on it is very high. The withdrawal symptoms can persist for up to 18 months if you're trying to kick the habit, much more than heroin, which you can generally kick in a couple of weeks.
And it's the addiction seems so easy. That means seems to be what everyone, whenever we talk about this issue, it's how easy it is to get a hooked. And the program goes to the country town of Wellington in New South Wales. And we've seen stories before looking at country towns and the kind of ravages that this drug takes on them. In this particular doco, children 10 years old are given ice in Kinder Surprise boxes. They think it's like ice as in ice block. I mean, have you heard of that? How can that happen?
I only first became aware of it through the program itself. I haven't personally had any experience with that, but these type of things really wouldn't surprise me as what's going on in the some communities that have ice problems.
Just the big issue is what to do about it. Already billions are spent to try to counter the scourge. It's not getting any better. It's getting worse. Do we need to better target organised crime? Do we need more money spent on detox centres? Do we need supervised injecting facilities? What do we need for this?
A very difficult question, but you know, it's a question for the whole community. Education and lowering the demand for the drug is primary where we're going to get the most the best results from. We need to start with children when they're young to show them that taking these drugs, and particularly ice, is just not socially acceptable. We need to push it in workplaces. I think the program on some of the later episodes focuses on users in the defence forces, in the construction industry and in the transport industry. If employers crack down, and a lot of employers have drug testing regimes, these are all strategies that can make it more socially unacceptable for people to use this drug. The cost to the health and psychiatric type of issues associated with ice use is enormous. One program, they mentioned that 40% of the people in a mental health facility are there because of their ice addiction.
Yeah. Michael Cook, thank you so much for joining us and good luck.
Thanks, Fran.
Detective Chief Inspector Michael Cook and Ice Wars goes to air on ABC TV and iView tonight and over the next 4 weeks on Tuesdays at 8:30. It's 14 minutes to 9 on Breakfast.